Okay, so I grabbed it when the people asked me. I try to wear my mask. Shalom, how are you? Good to see you, Shalom. So, yeah, Baruch Hashem. So, I gladly like to wear my mask even during the day in any neighborhood. Usher for Shmir Sinayim. Because it fogs up my glasses and it's just more, it's a bigger kedusha when you walk on the street, that's all. I realize though, if you inhale, it clears, which is an amazing thing. Yeah, the only problem is eventually you have to exhale. I haven't figured out yet what to do, but at least it's a tzalapurta. Okay, so here we are, Baruch Hashem. So I've never been very good with my hands. You know the story of the person that went to in the Sheva Brachas, he came to the Rav, he asked him, which hand should I put on tefillin? So the Rav said to him, "Why? What did you do till now?" So he said, "Well, my wife says I have two left hands, I just want to know where to go." So then my wife doesn't say it to me, maybe she thinks so, but I really have two left hands. I'm really not good with physical things. Really, really not good. Changing tires is not for me. So I remember my wife's Lazan Gazun, so we had one of our babies. She said, "You know, the kids are old enough. I don't want you to send the kids out." And she went and for a week, she just made double suppers and froze them. And I said, "Well, I'm not sure I'm going to know what to do." She says, "I'll leave you exact instructions." And she left me exact instructions. She had the baby, Baruch Hashem, and I told the kids, no pizza tonight. No pizza. And opened up the freezer, and I took out the thing, and I poured it in some. So she told me pour it into the pot. Okay, she didn't tell me which size pot though. So that took care of. We have to do some mopping over there. Then at one point, remember, I took it out of the pot. I put it into the right size pot. I put it on the stove. I did everything. I called my wife. I said something is wrong. It's not happening. And finally she said to me, "Did you turn on the fire?" I said, "You didn't say that. You didn't say turn on the fire." You know the story that the wife said to the husband, "Listen, you go to the store, okay, and bring milk. If you see avocado, okay, if you see avocado, bring six," right? So he comes home with six milk. I said, "I didn't ask you to bring six milk." He says, "I saw avocado." So some people do that bedafka because they don't want their wife to send them again. So I once said this someplace, someone said, "That's very cruel to be an extra shlemazel just so that your wife shouldn't send you shopping." I said, "For me, it's not cruel. I really am a shlemazel. It's not, by me, it's real. I don't do it bedafka." You know the difference between a shlemazel, a shlemiel, and a nudnik? Now you know that, right? Right. A shlemazel is one who drops something. A shlemiel is one who drops the coffee. A shlemazel is the one that the coffee falls on. And the nudnik, instead of running with paper towels, he wants to know if it was freeze-dry, if it was a caffeinated or a decaffeinated, something along those lines. That's what he wants to know. So I remember my mother, Lael Shalom, wasn't feeling well. She was in the hospital. She was taking treatments in the stuff of Kainan Ishgazak. And the doctor said she needs cooked rice for her stomach. And it was the night of Tisha B'Av. I don't want to tell my mother it was Tisha B'Av because then she would insist on fasting. And I came home late from the hospital. I did not want to wake up my wife to cook the rice. So I figured, I'll do it myself. Right? I mean, it can't be that much of a klutz. I filled up a pot with water, and I filled up the entire pot with rice. You understand? And I turned on the fire, and it went down to lay down a little bit. Okay. They were predicting, 12 inches of snow? It wasn't quite 12 inches. This was like 24 to 18 inches in my kitchen, you know what I mean, coming out the windows. My wife asked me next time I should please wake her up and let her cook the rice. So having said that, the Gemara says in the Masechtas Megillah that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu cooks very differently than we cook. We prepare the pot and afterwards we pour in the water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the water first and then the pot. I do too, but by HaKadosh Baruch Hu it works like, you know what I mean? So what does that mean, you prepare the water and then the pot? And the Kedusha Slevi, actually, at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, says a Mar Deki Yisod. Whenever you feel like your life is in shambles, or things aren't working out the way you want, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, I have a promotion for you. I have a shpaz for you. But you don't have the receptacle to be able to take it. And therefore, what we're going to have to do is break your small pot and take it away from you and give you a bigger pot. So you're going to say, why can't the Kadosh Baruch Hu just give me a bigger pot without taking away the small pot? But apparently that's part of the process. And he says that every gezeira is really that way. Every exam where a person goes through a difficulty in his life, and you have to go through maybe a change that you didn't want, what Kadosh Baruch Hu is really doing is, he's taking away a small pot to give you a larger pot. I always want to quote my friend Marvin, who tells me his father had a business way, way back, where he had machines and vending machines in police stations. It was before unions and contracts, and they just had vending machines. No one asked any questions. The cops were happy, and he came by. And once he came in, today vending machines are much more complicated than they were then. They used to pull out, you remember those things. You'd pour in the change, and you'd pull out a handle, and the thing would come flying, a thing would push it out, and it would come flying down, and sometimes it got stuck halfway down, and it was, sometimes you pulled the handle came all the way out. It was good. It was a lot of fun. And the Bachrim would like make a hole in the quarter, and they would put it down and then pull it back up with the string. Don't ask. What the heter was? No heter. They say about a vending machine, you know, in a yeshiva, when you put in your dollar and you press Coca-Cola and a sign comes up, Tiskul and Mitzvah, then you know the yeshiva's in trouble, right? You know they're desperate fundraising measures. So his father had vending machines in police stations, and it went on, he was making pronouncement from it. And one day this captain walked in and said, "What? You know, who authorized you to do this? Get these machines out of here." And basically, he told me he was watching this guy yelling at his father, and that you didn't have no pranasa. And there were no stimulus checks in those days, no food stamps, nothing. No pranasa meant starving to death. You don't get these machines out of here by this and this. And so he always says he remembers his father at that moment. His father turned to him, because he was more concerned with his son, and he said to him, so the Kadosh Baruch Hu closes one door only to open up seven others. That's number one. No way. So if the Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking away this pranasa, it's because he's preparing a better one for us. And I once heard this vart, and I think it's a great vart. A friend of mine came home. He was fired from his job, whatever. He was laid off, and it was politics. It's always politics. It wasn't his fault. That's what he said. I mean, he said so it must be that way. And he came home, and he went over to his rav. He was really teetering on depression. The Rav said to him, "I want to ask you something. You believe there's a Bairi Olam in the world that runs the world?" "Yeah, but..." So before you get to the but, okay? "You believe there's a boss of all bosses, okay? So if your boss came to you and said, 'Chaim, I'm transferring you from this department to a different department. You're going to get a... It's better for you there. And you really trusted the boss. Would you complain? You would say, 'No, great, I'm being transferred to a better place.' You're going to get another job. There's a boss of all bosses. If you believe everything works independently and there is no central command, then you're in trouble. Then you are fired. You have to decide if you were fired or you were transferred." But the Kedushas Levi says that's what the Gemara means. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will never break our pot. If you feel like the pot in your life is breaking and you don't know what's going to be, it's only because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is preparing a better one. But we have to go through the Nesayim. You have to be able to accept it. You have to be able to accept that your smaller pot is being taken away for the bigger pot. Imagine you ordered a contractor to come build a house for you, and he comes and he takes down the old house, and just the smoke and the soot and the dust and then the digging of the foundation and the neighbors screaming and inspectors that are coming along, because it was after COVID, so the building inspectors had time for buildings again, and they, you know, stop orders, and you feel like the next day the guy comes with a big tractor, "Get out of here, you're destroying my life." He says, "I'm building your house. Look, it was 6 months already, what do I have for it?" That's what it takes. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. But you're going to ask the kasha, that's the contractor. He has to take down the house with all of the dust and the soot and the earth and the complications before he builds a new one. But Hashem could just replace it, flash with a new one. That he doesn't Olam Haba. But down here in this world, we have to go through the process. You have to go through the process. And the Emes of Hashem Tov says that every bad gzeira is really a ribui ha'ar. That mi'itoy le'tetzei aroi. So Hashem, it doesn't come out any bad. But there's so much good that we can't be soivel it. And therefore, it comes out in that form. It's difficult for us to explain that, to understand that. The Chayz of Lublin once promised the Talmud that for 10 generations, come to my kever, but when he was niftin, I'll do what I can for you. And he came, he said, "Rebbe, I have a tzara." And he came to him in a dream, he says, "Don't come to me." He says, "I see things differently up here. I see you have to go through this tzara in order to, you know, like, take away the small tire for the big tire. Take away the small pot for the big pot." He says, "Even the fear of death up here, we laugh at that. It's do me a favor, go to someone down here on this world." Gemara says, Rav Chanina ben Daisa, when they came to Daven, he was a niach, he put his head between his knees. Why did he put his head between his knees? Because if he was up there in Shemayim, he said, hey, what's the big deal of dying? You go from this Olam Haba to the Olam Haba. He said, no, I got to get rid of this Ruach HaKadosh. Okay? I don't know if I'm Olam Haba. I know this guy is dying. I have to help him. It says, every bad midah, every aveira, there's a time that you have to use it. Right? Basa b'chalav is g'chal. Everything is dam toyar. Every aveira has a... There's kol shabiyam, whatever is tomei in the yam, is tar on the yabasha. It's a gaiva, there's a Talmud Chacham needs a shmini shabashminis, and gaiva, you need something. Some people have the brisk kashir in it, but you know, you need shmini shabashminis. Kas, there are times you have to get angry. See, so what about apikursis? Is there ever a time you need apikursis? Says a male or promishlan. Can anyone help me on this? When would you need to be an apikursis? Josie, what do you think? Where would there be a time? Like, that's never, right? Miles, any idea? Anyone? Shalom, we haven't heard from you in a while. Everything okay? Those trees are still green, huh? Wow, amazing. Must be evergreens, yes. So basically, Ramel of Pamajlan says like this. Suppose you're driving home in a snowstorm and you see your friend changing a tire in the middle lane of the BQE. And you come by and you say, Hashem is only doing it because he wants to give you a better car. Evi Tsar is only rib where you are, and you leave him stranded, and you drive on. You know what I mean? That's what we tell you. No. Then you be an apikars. You cannot forget the rib you are. Get out and help him change the tire. When it comes to helping someone else, don't. That's what he says. Don't you fall into that where you are. Don't tell him that it's a rib of bracha. So I have this. I still have this. One of the things I do for. Stories, for whatever reason, it still works this way. Don't ask me why it doesn't get emailed, but that's because I don't have internet in my house. I don't have email in my house. So I still work in my attic a little bit. So I do it on a memory card till we got to this memory card. It's like I got rid of the cassette tapes. It was a major leap for me in technology. And I drop off the memory card in the office, and it's like I do 3 weeks at a time. This must be like 15 hours of work. And you say stories, especially stories, takes a lot out of me. The voices, the kids, they, you know, like I'm out of breath. Like, and here I am, and I put it into an envelope, and I'm driving my son to yeshiva. It's early in the morning, and I say to him, okay, throw it into the mailbox of the person where it goes to. And he comes back. I said, what's the problem? He says, Ta, what's the matter? He says, there's nothing in the envelope. I said, it can't be. I put the SD card in the envelope. He said, I believe you, but it's not there now. He said, I put it in, and I sealed the envelope. And there's no hole in the envelope. So how could it possibly not be there? So my son told me, you can do things that no one else can. What should I tell you? So we drove back home. We turned over the whole house. I woke everyone up. No sign of it. Of course, this was after the deadline. I called him up. I said, don't worry, I'm going to find it. I'm going to give $20 to Rameir Balanes. Always works. Sure enough, I gave $20 to Rameir Balanes, and I found the envelope. But not the SD card. I said, it can't be. It always works. And I got up there, and I had to be up like three straight nights to redo everything I did. And Lamais, of course, you always want to make it better. And I totally changed the stories. That first of all, I don't remember which stories I said the first time. That's one reason I changed it. Another reason I changed is because I found better stories. And as I brought it down, and I gave it in, and I get a call from a friend of mine later on in the day. He says, you know, my kids were going through a very hard time. There's an illness in the family, Rahman Aslan, and my kids heard a certain story that you said. I'm not going to get into it, but I asked him permission if I could repeat this, and it mamish was the story they needed to hear. I said, of course, Rameir Balanes said, don't! Because they went, Rameir Balanes came and said, okay, he gave $20 for me, give him back the SD card. They said, but that's not the right story. Okay, I forget that, don't give it back to him, right? Of course I had to do it over. It was the wrong story. On top of that, one of the other stories that I said, I had said it in a yeshiva someplace, and I got a call from the principal, and that principal said to me, you know, I don't think it was the right story for kids, for whatever, I'm not going to get into it. And I argued with him, and then I said, maybe he's right. And I said, that was one of the stories that I said. So obviously, Hashem, Rameir Balanes also said, I don't think it's the right story for kids. So I said, you know, I gave $20 for Rameir Balanes to get the right story, and I did, I got the right story, right? But for me to get the right story, and then I had to lose that first, the car. It had to be that way. Now, sometimes in Shiduchim, you know, you're out with a girl seven times, and Chas HaShem, we don't want to use the word dump, but she very delicately directs you elsewhere. In other words, you're dumped. And the world comes to an end. Hey, I've been there. You know, I've gone through the grind. And it goes back 50 years ago, 40 years ago. But notice how I say 40, 50. It's all one. At one point in my age, it's all 100 years ago, 200 years ago, it's all the same thing. Yeah. Ain't close enough. I was around when the Brooklyn Bridge was built. Actually, you know what I mean? Yeah, I stood right behind George Washington. What's a shuttle? And he stood there. You know, you don't get dumped. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes something apart to rebuild it. And sometimes I don't see the rebuilding. I know, I took me 2 days to look for that SD card and I couldn't find it. It takes time. But if you really believe it, then you see it. The biggest danger is you let the builder take down the building and you get so angry about the dust that you leave it broken. That's the biggest danger. It takes time. Things take time. I was running late today. Better get to the Sfasemis before we run out of time here. But I was running late today, and I desperately needed a tea. And of course, the tea is in a room in the school, and you have this buzzer to buzz in. And I couldn't find my buzzer. And went to ask the Mexican gentleman who cleans up for his buzzer. He says he doesn't know he's authorized to give it to me. I said, "Give me the buzzer!" And I finally got in, and then I took my empty box of tea, and I finally got there, and I knew something was wrong. The tea was not turning colors. I said, "This is weird. What's wrong with this tea? It's a defective tea." I realized the water was cold, ice cold. You know what I mean? You know the feeling, right? You've been there. Huh? And I sat down there for a while, and it like this cherry tea, you know. I was looking forward to it, and I continued working. And after like 15 minutes, I saw it turns red, even in the cold water. And I needed a cold drink then. It was just right. I said, you know, why don't I trust Hashem? But he works on his own timetable. He works on, sometimes he wants hot water. Trust God. Trust him. He works on his own timetable. I was really hoping I would become a chassan this year. Me too. But you know what? The whom is much more important than the when. Okay? So let him. Put it into his hands. Put it into his hands. The problem is if you're so angry that it's cold and you spill it, then you never get to that point. Never get to that point where... and that's one of the inyanim by the Ner Chanukah, where it says, Asur l'shtamish l'oira. That the Eibush is showing you there's an aura in this world that you may not understand yet, or you're not ready for it yet. It represents the aura goness of what's going to be. But I'm giving you a little bit of a picture of it. And I once heard a very nice marshal for it. There's a law today in New York City, if you have a construction site, so normally the artist puts out the computerized picture of what the building's going to look like. You have to post it on the... You have to build a gate around the construction site, and you have to make a little window there for the inspector to be able to look in and give you a stop order. And you also have to post the picture of what's coming. What is the svara of posting the picture for what's coming? So the argument is, and this law, believe it or not, makes sense. Happens sometimes. That you have the neighbors that are suffering with parking and bulldozers and machines. Let them at least see what's coming. Let's see what the end result is. If you see the picture of what you're building, it's easier to deal with it, even if it's someone else's, kal v'chaimer, if it's yours. If we have a picture, Shabbos is supposed to be a picture of an end of la'asid lovely. The Neres Chanukah is a picture, the Maral explains it this way, on the end of what's going to be la'asid lovely. The Rosh Hashiva by the Chanukah Mitzvah says such a beautiful vart, as he tied to the Rambam, as he usually does, in an amazing way. That the Rambam puts together the ness of the Shemen, together with the Ness of the Mulchama. Well, the two of them have no Shaychas. That the Ness of the Shemen is a Ness of La'asid Lavi, what's going to be. In order to get to what's going to be, you have to go through the battles in your life. That's what the Kaddish Baruch Hu is showing you. So the Chanukah didn't make any sense mathematically. It was but guess what? At the end, it's going to work out. Trust the Kaddish Baruch Hu's timetable. Today's the yard sale of the Shin of a Rav. Shin of a Rav was the son of anyone? The Divrei Chaim. Sons Rav, who was Divrei Chaim. Sons Rav was an amazing person. Just someone told me a story. My Mechutin, Ari Leiser, he said he heard from a Yid firsthand. I don't think it's in any storybook. It's a nice story. And it's going to pave the way for the next one. That someone goes to visit people in a moshav. Many years ago, he went to visit people in a moshav. The Shin of Rav was nifter in the early 1900s. So he went to visit this old man many, many years ago in a nursing home in Eretz Yisrael. And he's having his 80th birthday party. He didn't even want a birthday party, but they made a birthday party. And he gets this terrible coughing spell to the point where he couldn't catch his breath. He was almost fainting. They went to call a doctor. And finally, he gets to himself. And the guy starts laughing. Now, they really thought that the coughing got to his head, you know? So he said, I want to tell you something. When I was a little kid, I started coughing terribly, and I could not catch my breath, and I would faint. And he had some lung disease. I don't know what it was. I don't want to start saying names, but it was a terrible disease. And they took him to the local doctor. The only local doctor they had in little Polish towns, basically, was either the midwife or the moil. Neither could help him, you understand. This particular, it was out of their field of expertise. So they took him to Wien. They took him, and once had this guy in the house, asked him, what do you do? He says, he's a moil. And he's, I shouldn't even be saying this, but anyway. Okay, I'm stuck. Don't look. No, it's not so bad. He said, and he does a lot of different places around you know, what we call out of town. He says, people trust him because I'm an MD. I have an MD at my name. I say, oh, okay. That's it. I said, what is your specialty? It doesn't make a difference, but you know, I'm an MD. So I said, what do you do? He says, I'm a psychiatrist. Well, that makes sense, right? Okay. Well, truth is, a psychiatrist that has to be a medical doctor, right? All the way through. So anyway, so they took him to Vienna. Vienna was the big place where the doctors were. And in Vienna, they said to him that he needs a major lung surgery and that he probably won't survive it. Nothing when the doctors give you chizuk. That's like great. And I started a guy that went to the doctor and said, you need surgery. 9 out of 10 people don't survive. The guy's almost famous. He says, don't worry, the last 9 people died, so you got a shot at it, he says. You know what I mean? So now, so the mother was obviously terribly distraught. And she went to the Shinever Rav, and there was a long line of people. And the kid, like, ran ahead and stood behind the Rebbe. And as he's standing behind the Rebbe, he starts having a terrible coughing spell. He's, like, coughing away, and the Shinever Rav turns around to him. He says, get away! Stop it! You shouldn't be coughing like that! You have time, you're 80 years old. That's what he told him. That was his derech of Yeshua. He says he stopped coughing. But he remembered now, today's his 80th birthday. So he remembered that it happened. So along the same lines, let me share with you this story. This is in the storybooks. Okay? This man didn't have children many years. He comes to the Shin of a Rav. He's waiting in line. His wife made him come. He's not exactly a chassid. Comes up to the Shin of a Rav and says, you know, what's the bracha of a children? The Shin of a Rav puts his head down. A lot of times when it was hard to break through Yeshua, he put his head down. And this person interpreted it like a way of, like, bug off. Can't help you. And he was very upset, and he turned around and stormed out. And the next person in line stepped up. And the Shinner Rav opened his eyes, and he grabbed his two hands, and he said, give you a bracha to have a ben zacher this year. He goes, no, not me, I'm 65 years old. I married off my kids already. And the Rav said, sorry, I can't take him back. And they say he had a child. And even though he had 10 children before the war, all were married off, the only one that survived the war was this last child that was born. So go figure out how God does things. Now that's very easy to say when you can read the last page of the book before the first page of the book. But the trick is when Hashem is taking away the pot, he's taking away the pot to give you a bigger pot. Mar says, Masechta Shabbos, Shnei Zekeinim B'Tzeidim. There were two Zekeinim inside. Echad Osu K'Beishamai. One did like the Beishamai. That was Paichas V'Hailach. The other did like the Beisil. Why is the Gemara telling us? It's the only place in Shas where the Gemara is telling us someone did like the Beishamai. The Gemara in Brachas tells us Reb Tarfa did like the Beishamai. It was Shach P'chav Kimecha. Didn't fare very well. So to my Mishgich, because the Chanukah Lecht is the Ar HaGanis. Shabbos is the Ar HaGanis. It's saying, hang in there. There's a picture. I know you're in the construction site now. And if it's a big building, you may be in the construction site. You may spend the rest of your life trying to get married. I can't explain it. But I don't know why. But there's no such a thing that construction that's not there for construction. The destruction is there for construction, and we have to hold it. So, Reb Mendel Kaplan, he was a famous. If you read the book, it's a good book to read. Famous Rosh Hashiva in Philadelphia. He was a very, very special person. And for a while, he lived in Chicago, and he said a shiur in Philadelphia. He came home every Shabbos. You know how he traveled from Chicago to Philadelphia? He hitched with the tractor trailers. In those days, like, he couldn't afford the airfare, otherwise he wouldn't make it back. He stood on Route 80 and hitched with the tractors. Ready to go through Philadelphia? Well, almost. The Turnpike, Philadelphia. So, and he said he had amazing stories. And they always stopped to pick him up. And he said to him, how do you do it? How do you get out? You don't want to hitch from Bar Park to Williamsburg is one thing. How do you... So he says, I picture the Bachrim learning in yeshiva. I look at the picture and I say, I'm going to get there. Picture yourself that Rabbanu Shalom has your back. Don't worry about it. Just take it a day at a time. So it's a combination of two things. He said, right? Yosef Tzadik says, "Va'ata alte atzvu, don't be depressed. While yichar afchan, don't be angry." They're really two conflicting emotions. So he says, we get depressed, we do nothing. Yichar afchan, we try to over control. We want to get there before we get there. Take it easy, relax. Altir gezu badarach. As important as it is to tell father what happened, don't overrush it. There's a time that he's supposed to hear it, and he won't hear it a second beforehand. Now, I want to share with you from my own personal things. One of my rebbeim once told me, I did not do well in yeshiva. And my attention span was anywhere between 5 and 10 seconds. That was it. I couldn't sit. I mean, I could sit, but not very long. And I remember once, especially when I was in the Beis Medrash, you go to shiur, okay, you go to the shiur, you leave the shiur, come to the shiur. So I remember the Mashgiach Lezang, because he told me, I was a 17-year-old bacher, he said, make half-hour shiur. I said, yeah, but it's a 4-hour seder. He said, you can learn 4 hours, go right ahead. If you can't learn 4 hours, don't spend your time downstairs. You can do it for half, make half-hour shiur. And then he told me like this, and this is fascinating. He says, I can't concentrate. I open up the Gemara, it doesn't work, my mind wanders. He said to me, I want you to learn 10 lines. Nah, doesn't work. Nothing like a Talmud that's very... So this is what he told me. And listen to this, because I think it's exciting. Learn 10 Rashis. In the Gemara? How you learn 10 Rashis? That's how much Gemara you're going to cover? 10 Rashis. So, of course, you have to understand the Gemara, or else how do you learn the Rashi, right? So I would say, okay, 10 Rashis. Then, of course, if it's a very big Rashi, I counted it for 2. It's a very, you know, Rashi has a kash and a teres that counts for 4 because it's really a tesis also, you know. But I was focused only on one question in the Gemara. Okay, Rashi's explaining the question. I only know the question. And I never finished with 10 Rashis. I always finished the Amid. And I always finished the Daf. And when I started saying Daf HaYom Yishurim, I did it the same way. I went from Rashi to Rashi. If not, I've tried all kinds of things. 18 prakim of Mishnayos a day, I fall flat on my face. I'm learning only 10 Rashis. And the 10 Rashis usually, and Daf Yomi, I'm on my third way around, fourth way around, and I cannot sit through a whole Daf, I can't! Just do 10 Rashis. Okay, so if the 10th Rashi starts in Ukasha, I want to see what the Teretz is, you know what I mean? And that's how I do the Daf. That's how I do it, just goes step by step. So the Chavetz Chaim once said, there's a fascinating thing, it's brought down in the Chavetz Chaim, he says like this, in order to be Matzliach in learning, let's say you're learning a Mishnah, you have to remember 3 things. There's no other Mishnah in Mishnayos. There's no other person in the world that could learn this Mishnah, and there's no other time that it could be done. Focus on that. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu put everything together. You know, you're driving on the highway and you see an advertisement for SUV. And it's always breathtaking scenery on a mountain with a beautiful ocean behind it. I said, no, when you go into the dealer and you buy a Honda or whatever, you feel like you drive on. Where's the ocean? Right? Where's the mountain? No, you see like this mountain, your hair's blowing in the wind, and there's like this. No, the scenery doesn't come along with the car. That you have to imagine, right? The scenery in our life, put it into your life. Put it there. Put it there, and it's going to be there. It's going to be there. You know, the Daza Kanami Bali Taisa says a fascinating thing. What does Rashi say? Vayaris who agalais, Yaakov got all excited when he saw the carriages. Why did he get all excited? Anyone? Reminds him of the Egla Rufa. Okay? The Kedushas Levi says agalis means round. He sees the world goes round. Whatever had to happen, had to happen. You know what the Daza Kanami Bali Taisa says, right? Now he says an interesting thing. He says, Yaakov said, maybe they're pulling my leg. Maybe they're going to show me some person who's not really Yosef. I'm an old man that can fool me. So he figured the wagon driver, he's probably in on it. He doesn't have enough seichel to lie. So he leaned over to the wagon driver and says, psst, is Yosef really alive? He said, yeah, I'm telling you. So Yaris Huagolis. What does that mean? It's Tysus. That's Rishon saying it. Sometimes the simple things in life, just take it and go. I walked in, I heard Miles say to his Chavrusa, to correct me if I'm wrong. He said, if someone does you a favor, you go to the other side of the world. Right? Is that what you said? Say it again. Say the lush, because it hit me as I walked in. Say it, Miles. Yeah. Well, give us more than yeah. Come on, you can do better than
yeah, you have to go to the end of the world.
Someone does you a favor, you go to the end of the world. I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that for whatever reason. Because Baruch Hu guides you, I'm telling you. Listen. Just listen to him. He guides you. It's one of the reasons that the Kala walks around the chas and says a person has no Torah This person has no b'loy isha, he's b'loy Torah, b'loy chaim, is without a wall. He's without, what does it mean he's without a wall? So some say it's a remez that the woman is a wall. That's the reason the keva to save of gavra, the Zohar says, and the kala goes around the chasen 7 times. Again, the all you b'ez Hashem is b'ch b'karav. What does that mean? That it means to say that should I have done this? Should I have not done this? Where am I? Should I have gotten married here? No. This is the wall around your house. Hashem prescribed you here. This is where you are. Make it work. God knows where you're supposed to be. Says the Sfas Emes. Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, Anoichi Ered Imcha. I'm coming down with you, Yaakov. Take it easy. Relax. Don't be so frightened. Al pi divrei Adoni says from the Chiddush Yerim al Medrash, Roy Yaakov was Roy Leirei to come down to this. He should have gone down to Mitzrayim b'shal shaloi shal barzel. Yaakov should have been shackled in chains and brought down to Mitzrayim. But a Kaddish Baruch Hu spared him, and instead he's riding on the kingly chariot. What does this mean? His pirishki hayitzarach Leirei kama yiridos mi madrega shaloi. Really, for Yaakov to go to Mitzrayim, he would have to have lost all of his madrigas. Atcha yerid le Mitzrayim, till he comes down to Mitzrayim. Ula chavivis avinu Yaakov, for the chavivis of our father Yaakov, osa haborish yochel lerid b'li yashtanis. For Yaakov, Hashem didn't have to take away the small pot to create a big pot. Because Baruch was able to take him right down there. And if you just see the next piece of Sfas Emes, which I think is fascinating. Rav Moshe once said, if you look at the world right, the entire world is a klisharis. It all becomes hegdish. Right? Rav Scheinberg once said, it's great to go to the kaisel, he was talking to the Bachram. But the kodesh hakadoshim is your shtender. It's your life. It's where you are. V'yeser Yosef merkaftoi nimsa. What does it mean? V'yeser Yosef merkaftoi? That Yosef spanned, right? He connected the wagon. Nimsa hu roichev aleim. It means he took his whole life. V'heimar kove elov. He said, I'm not going to let life push me around. I'm going to believe, says Yosef, wherever I am, it's God's opportunity. He put me here. This is a stepping stone to my Olam Haba. And therefore, he controlled his life as opposed to life controlling him. He wasn't going. So Yosef HaTzadik says to his brothers like this. He says, V'ata al te'atzva. Don't be depressed. Don't be angry. Ein v'ata. Ela tshuva, Chazal say, says the Divrei Yecheskel. Ata is a lashon of tshuva. Why is ata, now it reaps, right? And this morning you didn't wake me up, and now you got me. What is, must be a reason. To wake everyone else up by this year, of course. Why is ata a lashon of tshuva? Anybody? Chazal tell us often, the word ata now is a lashon of tshuva. What does ata have to do with tshuva? Try? Anyone?
Do tshuva now.
Okay, go ahead. Did you have to believe, says the Divrei Yecheskel, even if I blew it, it doesn't mean I'm not accountable for my actions. But this is where I'm supposed to be now. Okay? And if you really believe it, then Hashem says, I'll pick you up. I'll pick up the pieces, and it'll go from there. So there's this terrible joke. It's one of the first jokes I ever heard, and I should have erased it as soon as I heard it. That this Chassidish guy comes, and for whatever reason, he knew the right people, and Queen Elizabeth is knighting him. He's making him a knight. So he has to kneel, and they put the sword on his head. And you have to give the queen a bracha in Latin. And this guy had no clue, you know? And they told him, no. So they said, just say something. So he goes, can I say it in Hebrew? So he says, yeah, say it in Hebrew. He says, Manishtana Laila Zemi Kala Leilas. And what does the queen say? Why is this knight different than all the other knights, right? Okay. If we would, what is this world? What is this world, right? If the United States Homeland Security, if they broke into them, right, and there was a cyber, and they were not even telling us the truth. These are the cyber, when the cyber experts who are supposed to protect us become the victims of a cyber attack, and it's probably the biggest infestation of a foreign hands on every aspect of U.S. government, But they're looking into it. Don't worry about it. We're going to breach it. I know, but they're looking into you as you're looking into it. You know what I mean? Because they're in. Like, what are you going to do? Close on every computer? So really, what is private in this world? And the answer is, what's private is you and God, where you are. You are where you're supposed to be. Got into my car this morning. I was driving my kids. And I put it into reverse. And this, because I saw my aunt like staying in my house. Because my son is doing construction. And one of them turns around and goes, Zaidi, yeah, why is the snow red? why is the snow red? Well, this kid has an imagination. You have time till you get my age. Well, and I turn around and say, the snow is not red. And she points to the camera. I said, yeah, on the camera, the snow is red. Of course, it takes me a while. Then, of course, because you have the lights in the back, right? So the red lights in the back. I said, we can't change the world. We can change the way we look at the world. The atta, this is the way it is. I can't reverse, as Yosef HaTzadik, the Mechira. I can't reverse what happened. We're at every point in our life, we're at the point of no return. We're at the point of no return. So what's tshuva if we're at the point of no return? And the answer is to pick up the pieces I'm here and believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this, even my Yetzahara, and I'm going to do my best. Do my best from this point on. So I am. God has it all done. I used to go tell stories to kids that Nabuchodonosor, chemotherapy. I remember going into a house, going into a thing, they had all these toys from High Lifelines. It's beautiful, it's great, it's gavaldic. And his siblings came to visit him, and they saw those toys, and they're like, their mouths are watering. And this kid that weighed maybe 20 pounds, you know, he was skin and bones, he looks at his siblings. He's looking up at them, and they're looking at all these toys around him. And I'll never forget what he told them. He told them in Yiddish. He said, when you'll have to take my medicine, you can get my toys. He said, don't be mekanim, okay? My meds, my toys. So the Eibishter has it all figured out for us. And the medicine is the stepping stone for the toys. So I want to conclude with this story. I think it's a great story. I think today's also the yahrzeit, or tomorrow, or yesterday, of the Bechutcha Ruv, the Eshel Avram, Shulchan Aruch. His name was Avram David of Bechutch. Amazing coincidence. I mean, he emptied the Bechutcha Ruv also. And he was Ish Kadosh, Talmud Rav Meir Pomeshlani, was a very big guy. In his, the Eshel Avram Shulchan Aruch, in his shul, he took over as Rav in Bechutch, and he instituted a lot of, the butcher shops and the chedarim, and some people were very displeased with him. There was a wind blowing to the left. And there was a big din Torah, and the person who lost the din Torah was not particularly happy. He didn't understand this concept of the smaller pot paving the way for the bigger pot. And they were going to get even with the rabbi. How did they get even with the rabbi? So the Rav used to come very early, he would give shiurim, and then after davening, he would sit and conduct din Torahs. Everybody left. He would learn another hour in the Beis Medrash, and then he would leave and go home for breakfast, and then go off to Kail or whatever. So what they did was, when everybody left, and the Rav was alone in the Beis Medrash, they locked the Beis Medrash door with a padlock from the outside, locking the rabbi in. Meanwhile, his wife's getting all nervous. She says, my husband is never late. He's never late. Where is he? So he's probably still in shul. They run to shul. He says, he can't be in shul because it's locked with a padlock from the outside. And they turn over the entire town, and the worst fears are, there was pogroms, and what's going on. And it was mamish. And finally, they came in. They said the whole Beis Medrash was already getting dark. Should come to say tillim, and the Beis Medrash, the Rav, disappeared. And they open up the padlock and they come in, and the Rav is there, you know, he appeared. They said, what happened? He said, I tried to open the door and it was closed. He says, he didn't have a cell phone on him. And that was it. So he says, I sat and I learned the whole day. So they said, so they made an investigation. They found out which kids did this. And they said, we're putting him into Chayrim. He said, no, I'm not a Chayrim guy. We're putting him into Chayrim. The Bez and Paskin, you have to. So the entire town came, and they went through the whole process of Chayrim. It says they lit black candles. I'm not sure what black candles are. And they all stood there, and the Rav got up there, and they took out a Sefer Torah, and they blew Shofar, and the Rav opened up the Aron Kodesh, and now he's going to pronounce the Chayrim. And he got up there, and he said, people told me I have no choice. For the Kvod HaTorah, I have to put the person into Chayrim. But how do I know it's really Kvod HaTorah? Maybe I'm just upset that they lock me in here. I say, Hashem, you knew I needed a day alone in the Beis Medrash. Whoever locked me in, I'm not putting you into Chayram. I love you. Close the Aron Kodesh. That was the end of the Maskilim in the tent. Yeah, this is what Yosef said to his brothers. You want to start taking revenge on each other? We're in big trouble. If we pick it up from here, then we'll figure out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that moment that we need, that moment alone in the Beis Medrash that paves the way for the manifestation of the Aragonis, for the Kala walking around the Chasin, for Simchas HaChayim, that we see that new building which paves the way for even the new one, and finally the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Amen. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming.